Amen. Let's thank the Lord for this time of worship, church. Well, God bless everybody. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Marcus, executive pastor here. Thank you guys that are here present today. Those of you guys online as well, we thank you for joining us. We're starting a new series today about worship, right? We're excited about this series. And we're going to be discussing on the next 3 weeks right here the ways and the whys of worship. And we thank you for joining us today. So our hope and our goal is that after this series, right, that wherever we are with our expression of worship to the Lord moves forward. Can I hear amen? Right? Things that are alive grow. Right? And things that are healthy grow. So hopefully here, when you're coming to the services, not only are you enjoying the music, the fellowship, the great seats, the great venue, but really, it doesn't matter. None of that stuff matters if you're not spiritually growing and if you're not being challenged. So we hope these next 3 weeks will do that for us. My first car was in 1988. Scott, what was your first car?
A 69 VW.
All right. First car. Dan, what was your first car?
1972 Jeep.
Nice. Don't you wish you still had these cars?
Yeah.
All right. Daniel, what was your first car?
I think it was a 92 Mazda.
Okay. Minivan. Oh. Yes. Yeah, a little foreshadowing for you with all those kids you guys are procreating. That's good. My first car, 1988, I'd moved from Fort Bragg, Fayetteville, North Carolina, to Santa Barbara. A big change there. And so my first car was a 1984 Ford Mustang GT 5.0.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. It wasn't a 5.0. It was a 5.0 my, right? That bad boy was fast, and I don't know how I convinced my dad to allow me to purchase that because very conservative, right? I think we had a Chevy Astro van at the time, and here I end up, that's my first car. I think he was trying to live vicariously through me, right? So man, it was such a great car and so fast, 5-speed, but that really represented like freedom in my life. And it represented like this time from like in North Carolina, now to Santa Barbara, now a junior in high school. And it's the first tape I ever bought was The Police.
Oh, wow.
That was a little foreshadowing, too, with me and a Mustang GT, if you get what I'm saying. Ominous foreshadowing. And I never bought records or cassettes growing up. And if I did, you guys have heard a lot of my story. I grew up in the church, and it was just praise and worship music. And this was like the first like cassette I bought on my own that wasn't like Amy Grant or Michael W. Smith or Russ Staff, and the list goes on and on, Rich Mullins, and so I bought The Police, Sting. And I remember putting that cassette in my car. And driving around, like just, oh my gosh, this music was amazing and just what it represented in my life. So I've always been a big fan of Police and Sting. And for decades, I've been trying to go see him with my wife. And he was in town the other day at San Diego State Arena, and that's where Tracy and I met. So I was like, I have to go, right? This must be from the Lord for me to go. And I went, and it was a fantastic concert. Here's a little taste of our experience there. So we get a taste of what the evening was like, but I don't know how many tens of thousands were in that venue. And here is Sting, right? For 30 years, I've been waiting to do that with 25 with my wife, and it was great. It was great. Sting is 72, and he wears leather pants. I'm just saying. And my wife's like, honey, he's wearing leather pants. I'm all, honey, he's Sting. You do whatever you want, right? And so it was a great, great event. But as I was there and was experiencing, you know, everybody in one accord being excited to be there, and certainly there was nothing wrong with that. I enjoyed the experience. But as I was reflecting and thinking about worshiping the Lord, and I just saw this direct contrast with, you know, everybody there excited to respond and everybody excited to engage and everybody excited to participate in one voice. And so often, right, we can be in church and it's not Sting who is the focal point, but indeed God. I don't think we often comprehend the portion of the service that we're worshiping the Lord. I think perhaps a lot of us at times, and this includes me, sometimes it's the singing part. Can I hear amen? Right? And sometimes it's the, well, let me just check the box of the service as they're singing the song. And we're hoping, I hope they sing the song I like. Or I hope they don't sing that song. Or I can't wait to hear those voices, and we're blessed with skillful musicians. And we're blessed with beautiful voices. And we're blessed with great facilities and accommodations. Can I hear amen? And I think, well, what if all that was stripped away? And it was an untuned guitar with a crackly voice like mine, with wooden benches with splinters on them. What would be our attitude? What would be our focus? What would be our response? And we've got everything set on the platter for us here. And often, we don't really grasp that part of worship that we engage into. Now, at the Sting concert, no matter who sang what and responded, Sting was going to accept that. So there wasn't like qualifications for him to be pleased with the response. Are you guys following me? Right? People clapping, people singing, people eating churros. Maybe that was just me. But it was like, all right, whatever you guys, adulation you're throwing my way, he's going to receive it. So another thing came to my mind too is often not only are we kind of perhaps checking the box and, oh, I'm not a singer. Let me just engage in my way, which is fine at times. But today I want to look at some verses and some concepts, hopefully that challenge all of us and encourage all of us. But before we begin that, there are parameters, there are examples, and there are ways and perspectives and conditions that God does not accept. So I want to chat about that briefly as we hop into this. Let's go to Amos 5, 21 through 23. It says this: I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Now, before I continue reading, understand the condition the people of Israel were. By the way, let's keep them in prayer. Can I hear amen? We all know what's going on here. We all know what's going on over there. And if we know our roots as Christians, we know that we are indeed grafted into God's people as spiritual Jews, right? So those are God's people, and we should be praying and uplifting them during this time. So let's not forget that. But like us, often the Israelites would ebb and flow with their relationship with God. One season being tight with the Lord and strong, and other seasons adopting other forms of worship, and then repenting and coming back and being together with the Lord, and then rejecting him and worshiping Baal. And it was an ebb and flow of their commitment to the Lord. During this time, they were not committed. And this is God's response. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. This is a warning. Can I hear amen?
Amen?
So it's not about the music. It is not about the singing that we will discuss a bit today, but more it's about the condition of our heart and the condition of our spirit towards God and us being right with the Lord, placing him where he should be. That doesn't mean everything in our life is perfect. Are you with me? But that our life is not saying one thing and then living contrary to that. And this was the state that Israel found itself in. In this series, we're going to cover the whys and ways. And real simply, today we're going to be talking about kind of Sunday worship. So traditional worship, kind of what we think of. And today we're going to be focused on our voices and what the Bible has to say about that. Next week, we're going to talk about worship Monday through Saturday. Because it's not only singing. It certainly is far from only singing. Amen. Our lives should be a living sacrifice. An offering of worship to him. And there's many ways to do that. We'll discuss that next week. But as we continue on, let's take a look at this passage right here in Psalm 150. It says this, praise the Lord. Everybody say praise the Lord. Everybody say praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Let's praise him inside. Let's praise him outside. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him because he's good. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Can I hear amen?
Amen?
God is good. And he is worthy to be praised. Not worthy to let our boxes be checked. Praise him with the sounding of trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And that's where indeed we're going to be discussing today. As we do that, I'm going to read some verses that I just want you to hear. And this is the challenge. I'm going to present the challenge right now. I'm going to present that challenge that for those of us that are like, well, that's not my song. Well, it's not about being your song. Well, I'm not a singer. Well, I don't care. Well, I don't feel comfortable. Well, I like to keep things biblical. You guys following me? Because what I have to tell you is not worth much. But what God has to tell us is worth everything.
Right.
So let's listen to God's word and God's perspective on this. It says this, Psalm 63, 4, 3 through 4 says this, my lips will praise you because your mercy is better than life itself.
Amen.
So I will thank you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands to praise your name.
Amen.
Psalm 71, 23. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I whom you have delivered. Isaiah 12, 5 says this, sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. If he's done glorious things in your life today, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Colossians 3, 16 says this, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs, from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Church, I could go on and on and on to the break of dawn discussing verses where the Bible clearly tells us to lift our voices, where the Bible clearly says to shout with praise, where the Bible clearly tells us to worship with Does this mean every song you have to scream? Absolutely not. Does this mean, but this means this. This is, let's take a look at this little note right here. This is a key to worship. Purpose over pride. Key to worship. Purpose over pride. What do I mean by that? We're designed to worship the Lord. We are designed to glorify God. That is our purpose. That is one of the reasons we have been created, but often our pride supersedes our purpose. Where, that's not for me. That's embarrassing. I'm not a singer. Are you guys following me today? Or that's not my style. But for some, if we're going to be honest with each other, at least I knew it was for me. It was all those things, but really it was my pride. I don't want to look foolish. I don't like my voice. I don't want to surrender. Man, but let me tell you what, church, there is a freedom in surrendering to the Lord. It's counterintuitive. Because if you think you surrender, you're now a slave. But when you surrender your life to the Lord, there's actual freedom. And man, the first time that I lifted up my hands and gave praise to the Lord, I could feel things moving in my life and in my heart. I'm not saying you need to do that. Let me be clear. Do you guys understand that? I'm saying that I didn't give myself the freedom to it because of my pride. I'm saying I didn't do it because I was scared of how I would look. I was saying, I didn't do it because that wasn't my stilo. But as I read God's word, I was challenged with what is it that God wants from me, not what is it that I want to give to the Lord. So when I began to fully push those things aside and listen to God's word and became challenged to indeed enter into that space, my life changed. Acts 16, 22-31, man, this is a great, great story. Let me set this up. Paul and Silas, right, are going around teaching and preaching, and lives are being changed, and there's this young lady who has a spirit of divination, right? So through her relationship with demons and the devil, she's able to foretell the future or foretell insight, and she would follow them around for days mocking them. These are men of God, and they came to preach about salvation. It sounded like encouraging, but it wasn't. Mocking them day after day after day, to finally Paul looked at her and cast the demon out. The owners of this lady were upset because she was their cash cow. So they took Paul and Silas to the authorities and made up lies and got them in trouble, and they found themselves in this spot right here that says this: the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. That's a bad day. That's a bad day. After they had been severely flogged, man, listen, that's severe. That's a big adjective right there. Because flogged is one thing, but severely flogged, that's the next level. They were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Because the jailer knew if they were to escape, and they knew these men had some power. You guys following me? So watch these cats right here. We don't know in that hocus pocus or anything that they're doing. So watch them. And the jailer knew if they escaped, he would lose his life. So you can imagine he was watching them closely. When he received these orders, he put them in their inner cell and fastened their feet with stocks. If this happened to me, how would I respond? I don't think I would respond how Paul and Silas responded, sadly. Frustration, anger, life in fear. Come on, Lord, really? Let's see how they responded. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison was shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in the house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds, then immediately asked them their household. They were baptized. The jailer brought them into the house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. What an incredible story. What an incredible story. Imagine if they would not have responded like they did. Incarcerated. Stops in the center. 12 o'clock comes around. What do? Start singing worship to the Lord. What happened? That earthquake came. All the chains fell off of them. They were saved. Physically, and the jailer and his whole family were saved spiritually. Why we worship? Number one, because he deserves it. God deserves our worship. Look at Psalm 145:1. It says this, "I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. He is worthy to be praised. Regardless of my circumstances, regardless of how I feel." Can I hear amen? Amen. Regardless of, I'm not a singer. No, I'm not talking about singing. I'm talking about praising the Lord. I'm talking about recognizing who he is and acknowledging that with our voices and our hearts because he deserves it. That's different from singing the song. Way different from singing the song. Exodus 34:14. Actually, let's go to our next point here. Sorry, jumped ahead. Why we worship. Number two, because he desires it. Let's go back one. Because he desires it and he delights in it. So number one, he deserves it. Can we all acknowledge that? He's God. Number two, he desires it and he delights in it. Man, what a cool opportunity that we can bless God. What a cool thing that we could honor the Lord. Let's take a look at these two verses here. Exodus 34:14 says this, "Do not worship any other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God." He doesn't want your worship to go anywhere else. Next verse. Hebrews 13:15-16. Says this, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifice, God is pleased." Let's keep that there. Sacrifice of praise sometimes. Because sometimes you woke up and your back hurt. And sometimes you woke up and you check your bank account and you're not too excited. Or sometimes you woke up and you got bad news. Can I hear amen? And sometimes you come to church and you do not want to praise. I get it. Sometimes I'm up here preaching and you have no idea the spiritual battle that's going on, the lies of the devil that I'm battling, the frustrations, the concerns, the trepidation that need to be put aside and do what he has called me to do. Often, it's a sacrifice of praise, and we just ain't feeling it. It's a sacrifice of praise to God, and indeed, he is pleased with that. I love that. Next point, why we worship. First is because he deserves it. Next is because he desires and delights in it. Our third point and last point is because he dwells in it. Right. Amen. I love this verse. It's taken from the King James Version. Listen to this. It says this. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. This is concept of the Lord, of God, of his presence, himself dwelling in our praises. And I know some of us feel it. Can I hear amen? Amen. Some of us feel it. Some of us, when the worship's going on and we're praising his name, some of us can start to feel some of those proverbial chains that are in our life fall off. And the reason I'm encouraging and challenging this is not because, man, it's cool if we sing louder. No, some of us have not experienced that in our lives. Some have not experienced the power of praise and giving it to the Lord and pushing everything to the side. And the Bible talks about praising him with instruments and lifting your hands and falling on your knees and bowing before him. They're all acceptable forms of worship that have been displayed, dancing with joy before the Lord. And God wants us to experience him fully. For some, it's like, I can't get past that hurdle of even lifting my voice. God's presence will automatically upgrade our circumstances. Maybe things are tough, right? If we take a look at Abraham and Lot, great examples. Abraham was commanded to sacrifice his son. What? Can you imagine that conversation with his wife in the morning? Honey, where are you going? Well, here's the thing, honey. So he takes his son Isaac, and what he does that day is he goes out and worships the Lord. Wow. Lot got this information at the beginning of, Job, I'm sorry, gets all this information of basically everything being destroyed and finally coming to him saying, your children have died. You know what he does? He falls down and he worships God. We don't worship the Lord because our circumstances are good. We worship the Lord because he is good. And he is worthy to be praised, my friends. And I don't think any of us got that information today. As tough as your day might have started off, what great example these men are to challenge us. Why we worship as we close up here? Because he deserves it. Because he desires it and delights in it. And because he dwells in it. We're going to invite the band up right now as we close up. And we've saved our last worship song, the fourth one, for the last part of this message. And my hope is that as the band comes up, that we consider what we've heard. Can I hear amen? And that we put into practice what God has shared with us. And as they're coming up, I just want to read this verse in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. This is a really amazing verse. And it gives us a glimpse of what heaven's going to be like. And it says this, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude. No one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And they were in white robes, and they were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Why don't we stand up, prepare hearts and prayer voices to close out the service.